Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be with the people of God, in the presence of God. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, Pastor. Pastor tricked you a little bit, huh? He said he's going to have a minister from Texas, so all of you would come tonight. Amen. It's good to be with you. I know I just spoke to Reverend East on the phone on the way here, and he was fired up. He's fired up and ready to go. And it's a privilege to be with you here tonight. If you'll stand for the reading of the Word, I'd like to go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we will start in verse number 2. You can keep playing that, Brother Anthony. That's beautiful. I love y'all's worship here. Feel the presence of God every time I come. This is a special, special place. John chapter 8, starting in verse 2, speaking of Jesus. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I don't know about you, but I get Holy Ghost chills when I read that passage of Scripture. The mercy of God is here tonight. The presence of the Lord is in this place. The one that could have cast a stone was the one that offered mercy. Do you need the mercy of God tonight? We all do. Would you lift your hands to heaven? God, would you speak to me? I don't want to miss what you're saying to me tonight, God. I don't want to miss it. As this word goes forth, God, it's set to accomplish its purpose. It will not return void, but it will do what it's purposed to do. I know it is your will, God, that every heart and every life in here is changed by your miraculous power tonight. I know that is your will, but it's up to me. It's my response that determines where I'm going to end up tonight. It's my response to your word, and I'm asking, God, as this word goes forth, come on, pray for yourself, somebody. God, would you cleanse my heart, my mind? Would you help me to be ready to receive your word, God? I don't want to miss it, what you're trying to say to me tonight. Whatever the Spirit has to say, that's what I'm tuned into tonight, God. I want to hear a word from you, God, but I want to do more than just hear it. I want to receive it, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice to him. Oh yes, Lord, I worship you, God. I worship you tonight, Lord. Yes, so, and I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship you. Oh, I'm gonna worship you. yes, Lord, and I'm gonna worship you forever. I'm gonna worship. Come on, sing it out. I'm gonna worship you, Lord. I'm gonna worship you forever. That's what I'm here to do, God, in your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, empty yourself before him tonight. I'm gonna worship you, Lord, forever and ever. Yes, Lord, you deserve the glory, God. Take control tonight, Jesus. Take control, God. Let mercy reign. Yes, I'm gonna worship you forever. Come on, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. I'm here to worship you, Lord. Oh, yes, it's my heart's desire, God, and I'm gonna worship forever and ever. Oh, I can't wait for that day, God. Oh, so here I am. I'm worshiping with all I am, Lord. I'm worshiping you. I'm bowing down. Oh, Jesus, have your way. Oh, we lift hands, we lift hands. I'm worshiping. Hallelujah. Somebody give him a hand clap of praise. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, love a hope for you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have a single out there. It's one song. The album should be out later this year. But if you want to, you can purchase one, selling them for $3. I'm raising the money for Sheep for Christ. I'm going to beat these kids, okay? These kids can do all these fundraisers, but I'm going to show them that a poor evangelist can raise money too, all right? If you help me out. And just give to the cause. Thank you. You know, Mom likes to tell a story. I was 2 years old, she says. Now, what I'm about to tell you, I don't know how this is possible for a two-year-old, but those that are parents, I'm not a parent. You know, I guess that a two-year-old can get into some crazy things when you turn your head. Mom said that one morning her and Dad woke up and went to my room. They couldn't find me. So they started to search the house, and they couldn't find me. My mom began to panic, and then she heard a knock on the door, and there was a stranger holding me in my diapers. And Mom ripped me out of his hand, said, "What are you doing with my baby?" He said, "This is your baby. He was in my kitchen." Looking for cereal. Now, Mom, if you just had cereal, I wouldn't have to go raid the neighbor's house.
But you know those people that can take a U-Haul truck and they can pack every inch of available space. They can pack, and it's beautiful, it's pretty. They can fit your whole two-story home inside one U-Haul truck, and it only takes one trip. Now that's skill, folks. Would you say that's skill? If you're going to ask me to help you move, we may take that truck back and forth about six times. But, I mean, you'll be moved. Take all day. That's talent, though. People put that together. How about somebody who walks into an old and ugly room? Maybe a house, dilapidated place. What you and I would say, man, now this ain't going to work. They can look. And they don't see what it is right now, but they see what it can be.
Right.
The possibility of it. How beautiful it can be, the painting, and just rearrange it with some furniture, and they can make it look all good.
Right.
You know that God has that specialization too?
Yes.
That God can take something messy and ugly and turn it into something beautiful.
Right.
We read from the very first book of the Bible that God created the heaven and the earth. Would you put that up, Brother? Genesis 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The earth was a mess. It was without form. It was void until it met the merciful hand of the Master. Amen. And just as that old song said, that one pair of hands formed the mountain. One pair of hands formed the sea. One pair of hands formed the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valley, the oceans, the rivers, and the sands. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Amen. One pair of hands healed the sick. One pair of hands raised the dead. One pair of hands calmed the raging sea, and thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, "I love you," and those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. And I've come to bring good news to you today that what may look like an utter, hopeless, miserable mess to you and me, it makes God giddy with excitement. God can work with that. God loves to take broken things and put them back together. He delights. He takes pleasure in turning something so ugly into something beautiful. He likes taking what is wrong and making it right. Give God the opportunity tonight, would you? Give him the opportunity to do what he loves to do best. He can see the end from the beginning. And you may think it's a big, hopeless mess, but God sees it as a setup for his miraculous working power. Hallelujah. This woman, more than likely, that we read about, more than likely she stood in front of the crowd. Verse 2 said, all the people gathered together unto Jesus to hear him teach. And all of a sudden there's a commotion going on. And this lady is thrown before Jesus. More than likely she had nothing to cover the guilt and the shame. Nothing to cover, nothing to hide. Her nakedness, sobbing as she realizes that the choices that she made have led her down this road of regret. But little did she know that this road of regret would intersect with a road of restoration. But she just knew that the end was near. She couldn't wait for them to just get it over with. Would you just kill me now? Just take my life. I know that I'm wrong. I know that what I did was wrong. I know that I've messed up. Caught in the very act, and she knew that it was all over. Can you imagine with me as she shakes uncontrollably, trembling in fear? Her life flashes before her eyes, and she knows she's about to feel that first stone hit her. Can you imagine that with me? The shame and the guilt. On top of all that, everybody else gets to witness this killing. It's not worth my life. This decision, if I had it, if I could make it over again, it's not worth my life, but that's exactly what I'm getting ready to pay for. It's going to cost me my life. But God, if you can make a different choice.
he's writing. I don't know. There's a lot of theories about what he could be writing. Maybe he's just practicing his name in cursive. I don't know. I like the J a lot, but I can never really perfect it. I'm sure he had it perfected. Maybe he was just signing his name. I don't know. Maybe he was writing their sins down. But they questioned him. What are we going to do about it? Moses said, kill her. What do you say? And he's just ignoring him. I don't have time for you. But if you're going to keep asking me, he stands to his feet. And this woman is waiting to hear, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Stone her. She knows those are the next words. I can imagine that she begins to think back over her life. And think what led her to this point. She goes back even further. Maybe she remembers some stories of yesterday. There was a king over all of Israel. They called him a man after God's own heart. This king did something very similar. He did the same thing, and even did worse. He committed murder. But God's spirit, perhaps she's, I don't know, the scripture doesn't record it, but I can imagine she's sobbing. Maybe nobody can really make out her words. But maybe she begins to pray that prayer in Psalm 51. David said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. As she sobs, probably nobody can hear. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in my sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity. I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness at the bones which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Thou wilt not despise. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Do good and thy good pleasure, O Zion. See, folks, we've been getting it all wrong. We think that what we give God matters. We think that we sacrifice, we spend our time, our money, our effort. We even come into his presence and cry for tears. And we think that's what God is looking for. But what God really wants is your honesty. Amen. What God really is looking for is me to be accountable. I don't know if God's ever done anything for you, but I know what he's done for me. Amen. I don't know the pit that he dug you out of, but I know the pit that he dug me out of. I know what God has done for me. And I feel like somebody needs to remember. I wonder if I have a witness in the house tonight that God Almighty's done something for me, and I just can't give him enough praise. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah.
Praise God for saving me. Lord God, I'm not worth it. But in one act of absolute mercy, in an act of unparalleled grace, Jesus turns to her accusers and said, those who haven't sinned, why don't you cast that first stone? Silence. I can picture now as the words of Jesus Christ cut to the very heart of her accusers, and they freeze. They're paralyzed as they decide whether or not they're going to throw a stone. You see, Jesus loves to take a mess and turn it into a ministry. He loves to take simple broken fragments and turn them into food to feed over 5,000 people. He specializes in taking my brokenness and making something beautiful. Don't forget that Peter was a betrayer, that Paul was a murderer, that Jacob was a liar, a supplanter, a thief. Jonah was rebellious and ran from God. David, as I said, was a murderer and an adulterer, but when his mess met God's mercy. Oh, come on, somebody. When David's mess met God's mercy. Oh, I don't know about you, but I got to give God some high praise tonight. Hallelujah. God, from the depth of my soul, I say hallelujah to your name. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for picking me up when it didn't have to do it, Lord. Oh, God. I tell you, if you're struggling with something tonight, Jesus Christ is here to show you mercy. Show you his compassion and his love. Yeah. Don't turn around and run, my child. Don't hide. Amen. Don't fear. You're in my presence now. And I'm the only one that can do something about it. I'm the only one that can really do something about your situation. You're in the perfect place right now, right here. The Holy Ghost is here, and the Holy Ghost is ministering to somebody today. Amen. David's mess met God's mercy. That's how he's able to write Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I wonder if somebody has maybe forgotten some of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with love and kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them. Knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust.
Amen.
As for man, the psalmist said, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place above shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting, oh my God, to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
Amen.
My God. About you. But the mercy of God is in this place, and I just can't help but say thank you, Jesus. When my accusers drug me to your feet, God, and all they wanted to do was cast judgment and cast that stone, God, you were there to offer mercy.
Amen.
The enemy's been breathing down your neck long enough. The enemy's been telling you, no, you can't come to him. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't admit that fault. All the while you lay your head down at night, you're miserable. You can't have a good night's rest.
Some of you have been hiding something for years, because the enemy's been lying to you. But there's only one way to obtain mercy, folks. I don't care what the Christian world tells you. I don't care what you see, what you read, unless it's in that book.
But they want to tell you, you know, it's okay. You just do what you want. Once saved, always saved. God forgives you. You know, just if you fall, it's no big deal. Just sprinkle some grace on you. It doesn't work that way, folks.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. There's only one way to receive God's mercy.
Amen.
And that is honesty.
Yes.
There's no other way.
Amen.
They sing it tonight, come run into the mercy seat. It's here, folks. As Pastor said, that city of refuge is here. And you
can lay your hands on the horns of the altar, but you got to be honest before God. And that's something that we do not like to do. Oh, we can put on that smile. We can fake it. Oh, fake it till you make it. But some of us have been faking it for such a long time now. But God is here not to condemn you, but to tell you I love you. Not to tear you down, as the enemy's been lying to you, but to build you up. He's been on your conscience. He's been on your heart. You, every waking moment, you know. But the mercy of God is here to say, I can correct it. I can make the crooked path straight. I can bring rivers into the wilderness, streams into the desert. I can do a new thing if you'll let me. Would you lift your hands right now? Say, God, I know you're speaking to me. And I want to receive your mercy, God. But there's only one way to do it. I have to be accountable for my actions. And God, right here, right now, in this place, I'm not running. I'm not hiding. I'm not about to fear. Because God, although it may seem like, it may look like that, if I admit, if I'm honest, if I'm transparent in your presence, although it may look like death is just right around the corner, I know that's a lie from the pit of hell. I know that you are here to offer mercy. But he wants to deal with it today, folks. God wants to deal with it. He doesn't want you just in eternity with him forever. He's not that shallow. God wants you to have the best life here on earth. But he desires truth in the inward part, as the psalmist said. You see, whether it's a willing accountability or an unwilling, I'm sure she didn't want to go to Jesus. I'm sure she knew that those words were going to say yes on her. I'm sure she went kicking and screaming, crying, hoping that there was another way. But she never got. She never got to let go and run away. She just never got to run away. All of a sudden, she's there in front of Jesus. But they thought they were dragging her to her death. Little did they know they were dragging her to the feet of the only one that can help. You see what the presence of God offers you? You see what the mercy of God offers you? Is forgiveness. Go and sin no more. Don't go back the way you came. Don't leave this place after I forgive you and go back to that garbage, but go a different way. Go and sin no more. That's what the mercy of God offers. The real mercy of God. In this moment, every time I hear somebody preach about this passage, you hear, what happened to the man? What happened to the man? Where was the man? They let him go? Maybe worst case scenario, they stoned him. What do we care about the man so much? We're distracted by things that don't matter. Does that man relate to me? But I do think that man relates to some people in here because he may have gotten off scot-free. Scot-free. But that man's not free. He's miserable. So the religious leaders can pardon his sin. You're okay to go. Go ahead. But the man lives with that on his conscience and on his heart until the day that he dies, or until the day, hopefully at some point he meets Jesus and asks for forgiveness. You see, because you can't run and you can't hide. You see, you can only obtain mercy in the presence of Almighty God, being transparent, being open, being honest before him. That's the only way we obtain mercy.
Those religious leaders who had no mercy, no ounce of mercy inside of them. They just wanted to stone her. Proverbs 28:13, you know the scripture well. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You're not moving forward. You're going to stand right where you are. You're going to go backwards, but you will not move forward if you keep that sin covered. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus told the religious leaders of that day, I don't have time for you. I didn't come for you. I came for those that were sick. I came for the down and out. I came for the hurting. I came for the brokenhearted. I didn't come for you. I didn't come for those who think they're well. I didn't come for those who want to argue theology. I didn't come for those who were distracted by the noise. But I came for somebody who needs healing. I came for somebody who's broken and who's willing to admit it. I came to offer mercy to somebody who's transparent, who's honest, who's accountable in my presence. That's who I came for. That's all I came for. Yeah. Oh, God. Are you kidding me, Jesus? As Zacchaeus is getting down from the tree, are you kidding me? You're going to go home with that rank publican sinner, this guy who steals from people? You're going to go home with him? And Jesus turned around and snapped his fingers. I can picture it and say, you know what? Yeah, that's exactly right. I have time for somebody who knows they need me. I have time for somebody who's sick and say, God, I can't do it without you. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. I need your restoration. That's who I have time for, but I didn't come for those that were well. He said, just, you look great on the outside. Everything's picture perfect on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Come into the house of God. Standing there before the presence of God. Oh, I fast 3 times a week. I give and I do this and that. Can I tell you, as I said before, those sacrifices don't count. God doesn't care. He's not looking for that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, God, thou will not despise if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Until that happens, God can't even see us. He can't even hear us. The sacrifices that we think are so good are just stench in his nostrils. He doesn't care about that. You profess me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. I'm not looking for that type of a Christian. I'm looking for somebody who's desperately in need of me. That sinner that's beating his chest and saying, God, I don't deserve your mercy. Who am I? That's who God's looking for. Don't you see? It's that thing that's been weighing on your conscience for so long now. It's that heaviness, that burden, that fear, that depression that you have carried so long now. You've been listening to the lies of the enemy telling you there's just no way that you can confess. You'll be shamed. You'll be disgraced. You'll be humiliated. You'll be a failure. And some of you have listened to that lie, but you know all the while you can't get any good sleep at night. But Jesus is here to offer mercy. In the presence of Jesus Christ, not only does he say, get up, go, and sin no more. Not only does he offer a hand of mercy, but here's what else the presence of Jesus Christ offers: protection. Get your hand off my girl. Get your hand off my child. That's not your child. You have no right. He that's perfect, why don't you cast that first stone? If you haven't sinned, go ahead. Otherwise, take your hands off my child. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is here, and he's telling your enemy, your accuser, the accuser of the brethren, he's saying, take your hands off my child. They are not yours. They're in the presence of God Almighty. My mercy is here. My restoration is here. My power is here. But guess what happens when you're not honest and you're not transparent before the presence of God? You get no protection. You're out there alone. You're out there all by yourself. You may be that man who's running around free, but he's not free. He's bound. Because the presence of God can offer you protection. Oh, you're guilty. Oh, I'm guilty. I deserve to die. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. But the presence of God is here to offer protection. I'm going to talk to you today, too, if you're a leader, and not just leaders, everybody in this place, if you're harboring some type of unforgiveness, some type of righteous indignation that we call it, some type of, you've got something, you've got aught against your brother. The mercy and forgiveness of God is here, but you must be open and transparent, and you must give that to the Lord. There's no room for that in the house of God. There's no place for that in the house of God. But Jesus has come to deal with that today. He's come to deal with that. He's not looking for somebody who stands up and says, my way is the highway, and that's it. And I'm just standing for holiness and I'm standing for righteousness. Well, that may be, but if you got aught against your brother, you better go to him. I just can't imagine that the lady's sitting there in the presence of Jesus and they're about to stone her and she said, oh, I hate that man. I hate what that man did to me. I hate the fact that that man got away free. No, no, no. She didn't have any of that in her heart. You're going to receive forgiveness from God Almighty. There's only one way to do it. I got to be open, honest, and transparent before him. God, I'm letting that go. It's not the man's fault. It's my fault. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed every evil, wicked thought. Out of the heart. I love Jesus. He cuts right to the chase. You can't blame it on your neighbor. You can't blame it on the weather. You can't blame it on what you ate last night. No, you got to blame it on yourself. You got to blame it on your heart. Because he's come to be honest. He's come to give you mercy. If you're honest with him, it's time for us to be honest in the presence of God. I tell you, God is not in the humiliation business. God is in the healing business. God's not here to shame me. He's here to save me. God doesn't want to harm you. He wants to help you. Don't you see? He didn't show up today to embarrass you. He came to forgive you. But all you have to do is ask him. You have to be open in his presence. And God is here to set somebody free tonight. That somebody that's been bound for way too long, God is here to break those chains and let those fetters fall to the floor. God is here to set you free once and for all. You don't have to carry the baggage anymore, but you got to want it more than you want to keep your pride intact. You got to want it more than what you care anybody else thinks. You got to want it more than listening to the noise of the crowd. You got to want it. There's hope today. And God is here to offer somebody a fresh start. Maybe this ain't for everybody. Maybe I'm speaking to some perfect people in the house. But God is here to give a new chapter to somebody. God is here to say, it's not over. The Holy Spirit is whispering that your mess may be big, but my mercy is so much bigger. Your mess may feel insurmountable, but I'm telling you, I'm here to take, all it takes is one encounter with the merciful hand of the Master, and that mercy that your soul has been longing for, that it's been desperate for. You can receive it in the presence of Almighty God. Come on, somebody, right where we're at, right in this moment in time, it's going to be somebody's brand new day. Would you lift your hands? Come on, it's going to be somebody's brand new day today. Hakatalabohosia. Come on, it's going to be somebody's brand new day today. Somebody's going to leave here with that heavy weight lifted. Somebody's going to leave here set free. Oh, repentance. Repentance. Honesty and openness before the Lord. Here's the key to my heart, God. Come into every hallway, every closet. Sweep it out, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. Come on now. God doesn't care about anything else. I'm not looking for your sacrifice. I'm looking for my sacrifice. Oh, God. Hallelujah. The Lord is nigh unto the brokenhearted and saveth such which be of a contrite spirit, Psalm 34:18 said. And I'm a pretty simple guy, but to me, if the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, that tells me he's nowhere near somebody who's got it all together, somebody who's full of pride and arrogance. God's nowhere near them. He's near to the brokenhearted. So if you're not brokenhearted tonight, or you're not ministering to somebody, giving the mercy and the love and grace of God to somebody, to a brokenhearted person, then God is nowhere near you. I'm telling you, I don't want God. I don't want to be in the presence of God and miss it. I don't want to leave here the same way that I came. I can't afford to, but I got to have the mercy of God, somebody. I got to have it. I can't make it without it. Repentance. Repentance. Can I tell you, if you need healing and if you came and you're disappointed because this message is not about healing, oh, it is about healing. Let me stop you right there. You got a plague in your body. You had cancer. You got diabetes. Can I tell you? If you're open and honest in the presence of God, this is what the Lord told me. When there is repentance in my presence, I can do anything. Anything can happen from there. That's the baseline. But you're asking me for miracles, signs, and wonders. You're asking me for gifts of the Spirit, but you don't really care about a relationship with me. No, no, no. Come on. Don't get the cart before the horse. Come on, somebody. Baseline is repentance. Coming to God in brokenness and humility. God, I know I've messed up. God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I know there's nothing clean, nothing good about me, but I want your presence. I want your anointing, that balm of Gilead to heal. And can I tell you, when you come to God in repentance, he can do anything. Oh, there are multiple testimonies of somebody who held on to that grudge just many, many years of their life.